Welcome back to the LSCC podcast. If you haven't yet, join us on Wednesday nights as we dig deeper into our study of Ephesians. There's also childcare and youth group at the same time. We're meeting at 6 for dinner and then beginning our study at 6:30. We hope to see you there. And now let's continue our series, Foundations.
Hey, happy Mother's Day. You're welcome. So that was Rick leading worship with Presley and Jesse, and Rick has been just a mentor in my life in so many different ways, as a father and a husband and in ministry. So I'm just happy that they have come up to the UP for some fun and some worship. One quick announcement, this Saturday at 8 o'clock, we're going to do a men's breakfast. And so see Dan Beauchamp or call the church or get online. We'll be here Saturday at 8 o'clock for the men. So we are in the series Foundations, and we are going through the book of, this is going to be an easy sermon to preach. The book of Ephesians, and we're calling it Foundations, and the first few chapters of the book are the doctrines of grace. It's talking about what grace is. And last week, I said that this verse right here is the thesis statement or the purpose of Ephesians. And it's our understanding of grace, and there's a constraint with grace. Grace constrains us, and it does so in this way. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And I always find it fascinating what the Bible doesn't say. So if you look at this verse, what it doesn't say is this: for by grace, which is not your own doing, is a gift from God. It's not what it says. It says, for by grace, through your faith, which are both together a gift from God. And then it goes ahead and it says, your good works, that the good things you're going to do in your life were written by the Lord beforehand, were prepared for you. So you can't even boast in your faith or your good works. Grace constrains us to not boast, for it not to be about us, so that we can praise the name of Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's the context in which we find ourselves talking about grace. Let's pray for the sermon. Heavenly Father, I just I pray for those still dealing with COVID, that you would just have your way there and just bring healing with the Eberhards and everybody throughout hospitals, as this seems to run through the community again. I just pray that you would be with everyone and keep them safe. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us today, that this just isn't a go through the motions, come to church kind of thing. Lord, who cares about that? I don't care about that. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us today, that the words that created the universe, that said, let there be light, that those same powerful words would speak to us today, that they would change us, that it would be a marked moment in our life. And I don't just pray that for our church, God. I pray that for Bethel Baptist Church. I pray that for Crossbridge and North Iron and Water's Edge, that your spirit would just overwhelm them and move them and teach them about who you are this morning, that they would become more like you and find hope. And Lord, we pray for Cindy Asher at Silver Creek as she delivers the sermon as we have church right now. We pray for her and thank you for the Ashers and their ministry. God, we are here for you, and there are so many prayers and so many things that I haven't mentioned today, but you know what they are. It is in your mighty and powerful name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. So we're moving through the book of Ephesians. Last week we learned that grace was a constraint. This week we learned grace is our destiny. Who believes in destiny in the room? Usually get about half and half the people, about half and half. Now, I believe in destiny. These are some of my favorite verses in the Bible. I was brought up, not with these verses, like my dad saying, this is Ephesians 1:4, but what's in the verses? I was brought up with this. My dad would take me out to like see a sunset, and he would say, Chris, this didn't happen by chance. God painted this on this day for us to see, for us to enjoy, for this moment. And then he would speak the Lord's destiny into my life. He would say the things that the Lord made me for. He would say I had strength. He would say I had the gift of exhortation. He would speak things into my life. My father spoke destiny into my life. and showed me how God does that just by the sunset. Every couple months we would do that. My Nana, me Nana, she's Irish and she's about this tall. And she's Irish, like from Ireland. And she lived in England and she is a fireball. Do not make her mad. She's crazy. Italian people, y'all think you're crazy, but it's the Irish. And anyway, she would come visit and I was premature and I was about 3 months premature. And so it was a little tiny baby. I'm pretty big now. And why are you laughing? You can put my head here and my butt here, my mom would say, and just rock me. And I went blue a couple times and dyed a couple times. And my Nana would come and visit. And I couldn't imagine that being a mom. My Nana would come visit me in my whole life. And she'd say, "You're special. You're my special child. You survived." And then when she would speak destiny into my life, "You're going to do great things. You're going to be a great man. There's a purpose for your life." She would speak these things into my life. I believe in destiny. In fact, so much so that when I was a teenager, I told my sisters, "I am special. You're not that special," Nana said. When I was in trouble, my stepmom raised me. And when I was in trouble, she would, instead of like just address the problem, she would speak my destiny and my character and who she thought I would be into my life. She'd say, "No, this isn't you. This isn't who you are. This isn't what God made you for." And she would speak purpose and destiny into my life. Now, she almost never said those kind of things. So when she did, probably about 5 times, you listened. But she would speak destiny and purpose into my life. And that is where we are in the Bible. That's why I love these verses of the Bible. So we're moving through Ephesians, and we find ourselves in Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, and it says this, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons," you can put daughters there too, "as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will." I have chose us there. That's called elect or election in many of your Bibles. I'm not going to talk about that today. I'm going to talk about predestined us. What is that? What does it mean? It's important to see the next verse. It's important to see Ephesians 1:3 last week with the blessings of God, the favor of God, the heavenly blessings. And then we see this predestined and chosen. Then right after it, we see this verse right here, which is all about grace. Like I said, that's the context of this conversation about predestination, about grace. So the next verse says this, "To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved." I misspoke. That's not the church. That's Jesus. That's Jesus' love. In fact, in Greek there, that word beloved would be in like the perfect love that is Christ. It's a strong word. He blessed us in the perfect love that is Christ. "In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace." So predestination, what we're talking about today, is sandwiched within this conversation of grace. It's a doctrine of grace. A lot of people don't like to talk about it. Like, you tell pastor friends, "Hey, what are you preaching about? Predestination." They're like, "Oh, I don't know that I'd touch that." And it's like, well, we're moving through Ephesians, so I have to. And you will discover it is one of the most freeing things you've ever heard. Today, we're going to talk about 3 things, what it is in Scripture, what it is not, and what we do with it, or how I've seen it work in my life and why it matters. 3 things about predestination: what it is in Scripture, what it is not, and what we do with it. The first thing, the word in the Bible verse, predestination, looks like that in Greek. It's proorizio. It sounds like cheesy bread, doesn't it? Proorizio. What does it sound like, Alex, if not cheesy bread?
Don't put me on the spot, Chris.
Okay. Sounds like cheesy bread. You know, it's a good way to remember a word. And I think it's important to remember that grace is our destiny, that we have calling. Proorizio. Here's what Bill Mounts says it is. He's a doctorate of Greek, basically, a national guy. And he defines it this way. He says, "To limit or mark out beforehand, to design definitely beforehand, to ordain beforehand, to predestine." In fact, the beginning of that word pro is kind of like our word pre. So predestination. So if we're destined, pre, that's before something. When is that? When did God destined us in Christ Jesus. When was that written? Yeah, before the foundations of the world. That's our verse, right? Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless. Before the foundation of the world. That's the when. Well, this word, this specific word, proorizio, cheesy bread, was used 6 times by Paul. In Acts 4:28, in Romans 8:29, Romans 8:30, 1 Corinthians 2:7, Ephesians 1:5, and Ephesians 1:11 by Paul, the author of Ephesians. He used this word 6 times. We're going to go to one of those places to learn more about it. Let's go to Romans 8:29 and 30 and learn a little bit more about this word. It says this, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. A lot of him doing the work in there, isn't it? For those God foreknew, he predestined. See, the way I think about this, you guys all have straws. Everybody got a straw? The way that I think about this is that word in Greek, proorizio, means to design, to draw out. And so this is God's view of us. And that little red hatch is where you are saved, right? And so God can see your life. He exists outside of time, and he's making these marks. He knows these things. But I don't think it's just this, like you're this object he controls. I think it's like the way my dad was speaking to me. Something fascinating about mothers, and I'm going to mess this up, but what my wife says about mothers is that when you have a child, there's something that goes on with your DNA in your bones, and I understand that, but you carry the DNA of your children, moms, in your bones the rest of your life. That intimacy. Doesn't mom know her baby? Even in the womb? You start to learn their personality and know who they are. I think that's kind of how this is. Like God knows you. He's created you. If mom knows you that much, that's just an inkling. That's just a tiny amount of how much God knows you. The Bible says every hair on your head. God knows every sand on every beach all around the world. Like he knows everything, and he exists outside of time, and he's made you with purpose and destiny, and he loves you, and he knows your callings, and he made some of you to be strong and steady in difficult times, and he made some of you like with in tune with the Spirit, that you can just see spiritual things. And he made some of you to just like see beauty everywhere you go. He made some of you with extreme joy. He made some of you for more hardship than others, for a purpose. And he knew how he made you. And he marks this out before the foundations of the world. And then that red hatch on there is when he chose you in Christ Jesus. That's the blood of God. He chose you. He predestined you. But if you look through this straw, what do you see? You can't see any of those hatch marks unless you got a clear straw. You can't see them. And actually, you can see through the straw if you look at it. But really, in life, this is where this illustration breaks down. You can't see through the end of it. I was going to put paper in them, but I thought we'd have too much fun with them in service. But if it were an illustration like life, you look at it and you just see something in there. You wouldn't be able to see through the straw. So I think this is God marking us out. Now, what a lot of people say about the Bible or about this idea of predestination, they have a lot of things in their mind when they first hear it. If you've been a Christian, who's heard about this idea before as a Christian? A lot of what you've heard is abuse of doctrine. But it doesn't mean that doctrine is not true. Who believes in the doctrine of regeneration, of grace, that God has paid for all your sin? Who believes in that doctrine? You all abuse it every day with your sin. This doctrine is abused every day as well. So just because it's abused doesn't mean it's not true. A lot of people that would abuse that would blame Calvinism, and I want to talk about that briefly, because if you've been a Christian for a while, you know that. If you don't worry about it. R.C. Sproul says this, we talk about predestination because the Bible talks about predestination. If we desire to build our theology on the Bible, we run head on to the concept of predestination. We soon discover that John Calvin and the Reformers, they didn't invent it. It's in the Bible. Now, a lot of people will say this is only in the Bible with Paul, that predestination is Paul's understanding of the Christian faith. So we're going to find out what Jesus has to say about it. and what the Old Testament has to say about it. Before we do, the reason I say this about Paul is you've been here through this series and we've talked about Paul a lot. Paul was on his way, the way he got saved is he's on his way to ravage the church like a wild dog. That's what the Bible was saying. He was shutting down churches, the guy who wrote this, shutting them down. And on the way there, he's knocked off his high horse and he's literally blinded. Can you imagine, like, out in the Middle East, running around, and then all of a sudden you're blinded? You might say that God made it all happen because you were blinded, and that's what people would say about Paul. They say this is Paul's understanding of Christianity, but I don't believe that it's Paul's understanding. I believe Paul is just echoing the words of Jesus. Let's go to Matthew 25:34. Matthew 25:34 says this, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world.'" Sorry about that. This is Jesus speaking, the sheep and the goats, and he's talking about what heaven will look like. And he says, "Come inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world." Here's our verse today. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world." Paul didn't make it up. Jesus did. He predestined you. He chose you. He called you. He made you for purpose. That's amazing. Before the foundations of the world. Who knows John 3:16? Who knows that Bible verse? It's okay. I'm not going to call you. Who knows John 3:18? John 3:16 is, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that who would ever believe in him should have everlasting life," right? Almost in the same breath, two verses later, John 3:18. "And those who don't believe stand condemned already." There's this idea that God has a plan and that God has a purpose and that he has called us to him. The next thing I'd like to look at is predestination in the Old Testament. Is predestination in the Old Testament? Yes or no? Is the story of Jesus found in the Old Testament? Where? I don't have any Bible verses for this. It's all you. Where? Huh? Isaiah 53. That is so good. It's all about Jesus. Go home and read it. You'll just weep. 900 years before Jesus? What else? Where else is Jesus or the blessings or the promises in Jesus in the Old Testament? In the Psalms. All over the Psalms. Where else? What stories in the Bible? What covenants? What promises? It's okay. Jeremiah. That's a good one. At the end of Jeremiah, everything's been like, there's this battle and the city was taken over and Jeremiah buys some land. And this is way before Jesus. And then he says, "There'll be an everlasting covenant where God will write his word on your heart." An everlasting covenant, the covenant that Jesus made with him. Anywhere else? Promises to Abraham. There it is. And that's like a bunch of the New Testament. They always, or the Old Testament, always go back to that all the time. Jesus said about Abraham, he said, "Abraham saw my day." He saw who I was. Abraham saw me. Thousands of years before Jesus ever lived, he said, "Abraham saw me and he rejoiced when he saw me." Why? Because Jesus is the promised one, because Jesus is the Messiah before the foundations of the world. That was the plan. Abraham knew it. David knew it. All the prophets knew it. Even in Leviticus, which is really difficult to read, you see Jesus all over it. See, grace is our destiny. It's what this whole thing is about. So that's what grace is in the Bible. And I realize I went through that fast, but I'm not going to cover every piece of that, that for thousands of years, people have been writing about this idea. Far smarter and better men than I. But I want to tell you what grace is not. That's what grace is, that your destiny and that you're called and that God has marked out your life like the straw. I want to tell you what it's not and how you may have heard it preached. There were churches that prescribed to an abusive form of Calvinism in early, in England around the 1600s, 1700s, and there was a guy named John Wesley. Has anybody heard of him? John Wesley is famous because he called out this idea that these Christians were saying, hey, these people weren't predestined, and these people over here weren't elect, so we're not going to serve them. We're going to take advantage of them. They're going to basically be our slaves. They were children. And John Wesley preached against that. And so there are abuses of this doctrine. I don't want to pretend like there's not. See, predestination isn't like God, like, taking the Bible and just, like, beating you over the head with it. Like, you will do what I say. No, I think about it like my dad. Like, out by the sunset, where God has called you and he knows everything about you. Like, my dad speaking these things into my life, or my Nana or my mom speaking me these things into my life. That's what I think predestination is like. That's why I think it's just, it's beautiful. It's something to find hope in. See, God is not small. I think a lot of times when we look at things like that, we think God is not capable of us having free choice. Like, who doesn't have free will in the room? Raise your hand. You all have free choices until you're dead. You can make any decision you want. What you don't have is control. This is our verse for today, and what people will say in an abusive idea of this is that you have no choice. You have no free will. I love what the Bible doesn't say. We started with that. Does this verse that we're in today say that you don't have a choice? No. But it says you were chosen. It says you were predestined. It says you have destiny. That's what it's about. I'd like to talk about three things that have affected me with this in my life. Three things. The first thing it did was it started to get me on God's plan and not what other people thought I should be doing. Now, when God spoke that stuff into my life, sometimes it's like, who's been to, like, McDonald's, or where they have, like, the slides that are kind of like that straw and they're plastic and you go through them? Who's been on those when, like, you can barely slide down, like you're wearing shorts or something? It's like, oh, now I did that a lot of my life. Like, I was moving through the straw, beating against the sides of it, making all kinds of crazy choices in my life, and it was difficult, but I couldn't get away from this. The words of my father and the words of people in my life, the words, when I met Rick, he started speaking God into my life. You're called for this, and lifted me up into ministry, and gave me a platform to do it, and encouraged me and spoke God into my life. And that changed the way I see things. The first thing it did was I started moving on God's plan and not my own. Now, people will think you are straight crazy when you start to do this. They will. They'll think that you're making decisions just crazy, like Stephanie. I told her I was going to do this. Why would you make that decision right before the Learning Center opened, Stephanie? That's crazy. Because it's God's will, it's God's plan, it's God's purpose for her life. The Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, go this direction. And she's not beholden to any of us, she's beholden to God. I was praying about transition and all kinds of stuff with church. I'll come in here and I'll pray over the church and over things and just seek God and everything. And I was praying over the church and I was looking around the room. And if you look at the chairs, there's half the chairs that used to be set out here about 5 years ago when I got here, and they're not really full. And when I first got here 5 years ago, there was 2 services full. Chairs were full. And those back classrooms, I got in trouble because I'd have services and I leave stuff laying around, if you know me. And those rooms wouldn't be changed right, and people would be like, hey, we need this change. And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that because that's a bad thing. I'm saying that was a blessing, right? The church was full throughout the week. And I was looking around, and I was like, man, God, what are you doing? And there's another transition. And the first thing we start to do is not to see God's plan, but to see how other people messed up. We think God, what God's plan is, right? Must be that executive pastor. Must be Stephanie. Must be you when you left, Chris. It must be the transition. You know what? It's got to be COVID. It was COVID. And I felt God speak to me and say, you are looking at the superficial Remember, we talked about that last week. Superficial, I don't mean to be condescending with the term. I mean, superficial is just below the skin. The natural things. You are looking at the superficial and not the supernatural. What are you called to do? And the Lord began to speak. He said, what does every person who comes in that room need? I don't know, God, what do they need? You need His word spoken over your life, just like my dad spoke it into my life. That's what this is about. Man, it was amazing. And so I struggle in all these circumstances throughout my life where I look at everything that I think is wrong. And like all the hardship and all of that and just everything that gets in your way. Who has days like this or months like this or years like this? Maybe you're just looking at the superficial. Maybe God has a plan and a purpose and He's preordained all those things. And you know what His destiny is for you? Grace is His destiny for you. I remember when I was getting out of the military, I was in the military like 10 years. I was going to be a chaplain. I got my education to be a chaplain. Wanted to be a chaplain. Didn't even think about doing church ministry, really, until Rick had me do it in the church and outside of the chapel. And God said, get out. And it's like, get out of the military. I'm making quite a bit of money for a 28-year-old or whatever. And I got benefits, and I got this, and I got a plan. And He's like, get out. And I wrestled for months and months and months, and my wife was also like, we should get out. And I wrestled and wrestled and wrestled over that. And God said, do you trust my plan or do you trust your plan? See, Stephanie, when you follow God, you become crazy to everybody else. And then I just made a bunch of crazy decisions after that. So one way I'd like you to think about this is, what plans does God have for my life? The way you know that is you pray, you ask mentors in your life, you get in the Word, and God will speak those things, and you just start to, instead of like struggling through the straw, you just like go ahead first and jump in. The other thing I'd like you to get from this is two things. One, God is speaking this into your life now. Like, you're here because God wants to speak His destiny for your life over you. And I don't know what that is. You've got to go to Him to find that out. I have no idea what that is. But He does. I know that it's grace. I know that it's calling. I don't believe anybody would be in this room unless God has called you. And He has a purpose. The third thing I'd like you to see here that I see in the scripture here is that just like my dad, just like Rick, just like so many people in my life, I could name them off, people in this room, so many people in my life, you are called to speak God's grace and God's destiny to people in your life. That's not a pastor thing. That's a Christian thing. Jesus said, go and make disciples. That's what He meant. Speak the grace of God into their life. Speak the destiny of God into their life. It's one of the easiest ways to talk about God with people. You see something that God has gifted someone with, tell them, the Lord Jesus has gifted you and blessed you with this. And start to pray for them and start to plug in with them. Each one of you, no matter where you're at in your faith, can do that. At our church, they used to say, everybody gets to play. That's what it means. Everybody gets to speak the grace of God into the lives of other people. Everybody gets to pray for other people. I'd like to encourage you to do that. It is Mother's Day, and one of God's destinies for my life is my stunning and beautiful and very smart wife. And she's going to come up and speak to mothers now and just how this truth of predestination has affected her life.
So first of all, I want to say that, you know, just like he was talking about his dad speaking purpose and destiny into his life, my parents did that. I mean, they loved Jesus so much, and they had just this crazy faith. And from the moment I was born, I mean, they just shared that with me. They put it in me. It was always around me. The Bible was just in everything. And so I, even though I tried to run from that, I could not escape it. I couldn't get far. I came to the end of myself pretty quickly when I tried. And I just want to share with you the testimony of that, of God's grace and destiny in my life. I've run from God, and I've seen his providence, his protection, and his leading, even when I was far away from him. I've been brought back by his unfailing, unwavering grace and mercy. I've been through abuse and abandonment and divorce when it was hard to see what God's purpose or plan could be or where he was at. I've been a single mother with everything taken from me, and yet God's faithfulness always provided in just the craziest ways. I've experienced restoration in my life that I could not have dreamed of. And I've seen him guide me and his plan for me unfold, a plan that I would have never come up with on my own. I would have never imagined I'd be a pastor's wife and a mother of six. But God's plan is good. It's better than mine could have ever been. And I am a mother of six, and I've seen his mercy and his grace and his patience lead me through that, even when I fail. And when I think about these things, I'm just so overwhelmed. And I can truly, truly say that, as Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. And in each of these seasons, God put incredible people in my life to speak purpose and destiny into my life. And there's so many of them throughout my whole life. But kind of one of the huge ones for me was when I was broken, I lost my marriage. I had lost everything but my kids and what would fit in my tiny little car. And I was just a wreck. My life was a wreck. And some dear friends, Nathan and Sherry, actually, they didn't even know me at the time. They just knew my wreck of a life. And my, I think I cried every time they saw me. So they believed in me. They saw God's purpose and destiny when I couldn't see it. And I don't think anyone else could probably see it. They took a risk, and they just spoke hope and life, and at great personal cost. And there's so many more. There's so many more people and stories of God intervening in my life and leading. If I told you all of them, you probably wouldn't even believe them. They're miraculous. And when I look over all these circumstances, good and bad, I see God's leading each moment. And I believe that he's calling us in every moment of life to surrender to his purpose and his plan. And, you know, whether that's your work, whether it's hardship, whether it's changing dirty diapers or doing the dishes for the umpteenth time in a day. I mean, just anything. Like, he has a purpose and plan in that moment. And he wants us to surrender our will and our emotion to him. You know, the world tells us really the opposite, you know, that we are supposed to seek to find ourselves and not to lose ourselves and all these things. And it can be so easy to lose those moments. You know, I think even for me, I could say that, you know, in those moments, changing the diaper or whatever it is, we think we're supposed to find greater purpose than that. But that is one of the biggest ministries. It's such, I mean, there's so much purpose in that. And I think a lot of times that looks like, as Elizabeth Elliot said, doing the next right thing. You know, in each of those moments, just doing the next right thing, the next thing that he has for us. And I think in this, we get to cooperate with him. We get to speak life and truth and destiny into the lives around us, into our children's life, and we get to walk into the purpose and destiny that he has for us moment by moment. And there's so many circumstances and moments in life that we didn't plan, right? But, I mean, it says that he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one that he loves. And that's Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. As we are his, he's planned it from the beginning of the time. Nothing surprises him. And we can trust him and surrender to him in each moment, knowing that he has a plan for our lives. And nothing can ruin that plan. You know, I have a funny illustration for this. A couple months ago, I dyed my hair red, and I've been pretty much blonde for probably like the last 12 years. And my 4-year-old daughter, Annabelle, was pretty upset by this. And she was running around the house looking for my mommy's yellow hair for like days. But I was putting her to bed one night, and she was just crying inconsolably that she wanted my yellow hair back. And I just, this is super cute and funny, but I think a lot of times that's what we do with God, right? You know, our circumstances don't look like we thought they should look or they would look. And, you know, or he doesn't look or feel the same as he did before. And we think maybe like, what's going on? Like, does God know what he's doing? You know, where is he? But the thing is the Bible tells us that that he is unfailing, that he's unchanging, that he has a purpose and a destiny for you, that you can't run from his love, you can't hide from his love. And there's so much peace in that. You know, it's like we just read, it says, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will. And being as it's Mother's Day, I just wanted to speak to you mothers really quickly. And, you know, it's hard being a mom sometimes, right? And our culture doesn't always value that and all that entails. But I want to tell you that you have so much power and influence in the world. I mean, you get to shape and speak destiny and life into the future pastors and politicians and scientists and inventors and, you know, on. You get to change the world. And I want to encourage you mothers that in each moment, God has great purpose and destiny, not only for you, but for your children. And if we submit to his purpose in each moment, we get to be a part of that. We get to walk into his plan. And what a privilege. And as I was putting this together, I just felt like, you know, there's some mothers. I had a very nurturing, great mother that spoke truth and life into my life. But, you know, men and women, I know not everyone had that. And I feel like God wants to give you the things that you didn't get. You know, he can do that. He can restore where those things were missing or broken. And, you know, as mothers, it's hard to pass on what we don't have, you know? And I think that God wants to give you that if that's something that you didn't get. So I want to pray over you guys real quick. And if you are not a mother, pray for the mothers. And I'm just going to pray even men that didn't get that, you know, I'm going to pray for you. So, Father, I just thank you that you are so good. Thank you that you have purpose and destiny for all of our lives. Thank you that you've called us, that we cannot mess it up. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I thank you for mothers. I pray that you would bless them, that you would give them everything that they need to speak life into their children. Lord, we need you. We cannot do it without you. And Lord, for anyone here that their mother was not those things, did not nurture them, did not speak life into them, I just pray that you would make those things right. Give them the things that they missed. And I thank you that you love to restore these people and give them the things to give to their children. And Father, I just praise you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello. Hey, guys. This is my son, Archer, and he has come before you guys today to make a public profession of faith. He knows he is a sinner. He knows sin, to sin is an archery term, that it means to miss the mark of God's best for us. He knows he's a sinner in need of a Savior. He knows that we're instructed by Jesus Christ to be baptized. He knows that Paul writes in the Bible to help us understand what baptism is, that it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that we are dead to sin, that we are raised to new life in Christ Jesus. And this is something he can look back on for the rest of his life. When things get tough, when the floodwaters come in life, when there's chaos and confusion, God is right there speaking into him new life and hope. And so I'm going to ask Archer a question. Archer, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? And have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Archer Smith, therefore I baptize you in the name of the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit.
The band's going to come back up, and I just wanted to, man, isn't that like the best end to a sermon about God's destiny in your life? My sons were baptized around that age, and they come to me now and they tell me how they're convicted of sin or how the Spirit is leading them. And people would question that sometimes, and it's like, nah, the Spirit is leading them. And it's just such a joy for a father to do that with a son on Mother's Day. That is awesome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. Thank you for every mom in the room. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak to them. God, you are a God who knows every plan of every person who's ever lived and every decision they're going to make, every hair on their head. You know them all. You've made them all. You are worthy. I can't even fathom that, God. You are above all. You're beyond words. You're beyond thoughts, God. Lord, I pray that you would set within us today this calling to speak your word and to speak your grace into those around us. Lord, forgive us when we haven't done that. And God, if anybody needs to hear that today, if anybody doesn't know your grace, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would speak to them now, that they would have a conversation with someone in this room and that you would save them. Lord, thank you for Archer and Rob. Thank you for just another soul. Lord, you are celebrating in heaven now. And we thank you for that, God. I pray that today would be a marked moment in all of our lives. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us. And don't forget to stay up to date with the latest information at lscc.tv. We'll see you next week.